That's right. The Drive is live. A lot going on, and the Drive is live today. But make sure you're with us as Reggie is rolling out Thursday. Come on, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I just saw somebody on the text line say, "I cannot wait for Reginald and Ronald to go wire to wire on Thursday. They are both tremendously handsome young men." 6'10" super fan.
I think
Courtney, that's the same person.
Texting in.
No, it's that same person who wanted Tyler to spit in their mouth.
Spit
and
in
choke
their
him.
Mouth and choke them.
Yep.
Cut it out, Jeffrey.
Tyler, is that who it is? Is it Jeffrey?
Is it Jeffrey?
Yep.
Tyler did a little digging.
I did some recon.
Yep.
I said blink once for female, twice for male. So they blinking three times. Tyler, you found it.
They
was
had
a male,
both
huh?
parts.
The
oh,
hell, Jeff.
Hell.
What the hell, Jeff? You said some very, very inappropriate, very, very dirty things, my friend.
And the truth of the matter is you got Tyler good and worked up.
No.
It was
no,
faceless. You didn't know. You were hoping
you
it was
sure
a female.
Did.
You were good and worked up. No doubt about it. You were smiling.
Well, I'm always worked up, though. I held myself back from going full worked up because I didn't know who was on the other end of that line. You know?
And had you known if Jeff was a Julia who you don't want to make a fool of you, you would have geared it up.
Julia Gulia.
Oh, Jeffina would have had you going.
Had you. Listen here, Jeff, if that's your real name, I will just like to say, Jeff, I appreciate the compliment about me being handsome. It's accurate. I appreciate the compliment.
The showman.
I just want to say that's not my preference, but, you know, hey, good for you, Jeff. But I do appreciate the compliment. But, no, 6-6. As we were trying to help out the Houston Food Bank, man, they have been cut by $11 million in the last year and still expected to feed the over 1 million people in 18 different counties in the Houston area. And so we are trying our best with your help, 6 a.m., 6 p.m., coming up on Thursday. And it'll be a lot of fun. We'll do some things, myself and Reggie and a cast of friends who are going to help us try to raise some money coming up for the Houston Food Bank on Thursday. And I just want to say, as we were exiting the air yesterday, Clint, there was the breaking news that Dorian Finney-Smith, we talked about it, a perfect wing.
Yes.
That seemed to fit perfectly. I mean, that nice puzzle piece right in there. That was a little aggressive.
Yeah, that was. Saw the hand job, yeah, with everything was good.
Edge piece or one of them real satisfactory middle pieces.
Yeah, right in the middle.
Not a key cut.
No, it's an edge piece. I think Kevin Durant was that good slip right in the middle. The piece right in the middle that you need.
This like a glove.
This was a complimentary outside piece. And then they also add Clint Capella yesterday, and does that mean that has he continued to keep that blonde piece in his head? I'm hoping that
the picture I saw, he didn't have it.
I hope he
brings it back though.
Yeah, I hope he comes back and brings that that piece back. But Clint Capella, what do you need, baby? You got Shingun, you got Steven Adams, you got Clint Capella. I mean, they got bigs for days right now. They've got interchangeable parts, and I just want to say, as we sit here, and yes, Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks are gone, and now Kevin Durant and Dorian Finney-Smith and Clint Capella are in. They've re-signed Jabari Smith-Hill. They had the Knicks sniffing around. They went ahead and re-signed M.A. Udoka. Can we at least all come together at this point, fellas? And ladies, and all of you, shout out to you, Sally, our number one female listener. All the ladies out there, the men out there, the people. Can we come together at this point now and just be happy and excited about what the Rockets potentially are going to be? Or are we still out here saying, why did they get KD? This team and what Raphael Stone and company are doing, they are trying to create a champion. You know what they have reached for me? And I know you get here, Clint, because you know it's hard for you to go Super Bowl or bus, or World Series or bus, or Larry O'Brien or bus, because it's just hard to make that stuff happen. But I've at least reached the point that the front office for the Rockets have done everything possible to where if this thing goes up in a disappointing manner or goes up in flames, to me, man, it's I just can't be at a place of I'm going blame towards them. It's more of a, hey, man, it just didn't work out. Or as you said, they ran into a juggernaut, no KC, or they ran into a better team. But I couldn't ask Rafael Stone, Udoka, Tillman Fertitta to do more than they've done. I feel different than I do with the Texans. All right? If the Texans' offensive line problems blow up in their face, I ain't got, like, I'm going to come and take a different look when you went and said, I'm going to get Lakin Tomlinson, and you went and said, I'm going to move Titus Howard to guard, and I'm going to get Ed Ingram. That's a different thing.
They're all fixable.
Here, I don't know what else you can ask them to do. And that's, like, to me, we have got to all be at the point of, all right, if you're a Rockets fan and you want good basketball, that this team is prime and they have done everything possible to go for a championship. And if they don't, I can't look at Rafael Stone.
I'm so high on the Rockets.
The Rockets have won the offseason in the NBA. Period, point blank. If you want to bring it back to Houston, I think this is these are moves that we watch the Texans make, right? We watch the Texans draft well and get some good pieces and kind of solidify that rebuild. And then last year we watched them go out and make win now moves, and now it didn't really bear fruit because they ended up in the same exact spot where they were the year before. We watched the Rockets draft well, bring in some veterans that help piece this thing together, make a run to the playoffs, and now they went and I would say made even bigger and bolder moves than really the Texans did with the Kevin Durant move. So they have won the offseason. They've done any and everything that they could possibly do to give this team, this organization, a chance to win a championship. Rafael Stone, Ime Udoka right now, Tillman Fertitta right now, they're the sweethearts of the NBA. I mean, I
see no bitches nowhere around here.
I got to see what L.A. does. I got to see what Minnesota does. I got to see what Denver continues to do. Like to me, the jury's still out in, hey, man, should the Rockets, are they really worthy of the second best team in the West right now? Are they really worthy of that? I got to see what everybody else does. But right now, before those moves have been made, I'm feeling better and better about that placement.
I'm just in a space. Again, I said it after the Durant trade, and clearly we saw it. Clint, I don't understand if you are pulling for the Rockets, I don't understand how you could be sitting here now today and have negative feels about it.
Well, you don't like Kevin Durant. That's fine.
I can understand there's some questions, but I don't know how you cannot sit here and look at this and be like, I just don't think you would feel better if they made all these moves and Jalen Green was there instead of Kevin Durant. I have a hard
time. It's tough for me to get there, but I can see where somebody doesn't like Kevin Durant. I mean, look, I mean, like I said, the Kevin Durant is a polarizing figure. I think some people love him, some people hate him. There's, for whatever reason, everybody's got an opinion. He is up there in age, so now you got to add the age thing to the dynamic of whether you like him or not. I could see it. If somebody just flat ass doesn't believe in Kevin Durant, thinks he's just a good player, he's not a championship caliber player, then I could see where you wouldn't like these moves. And to each their own. I don't know how you can't be a fan of the Rockets and watch what we watched last year and them get into the playoffs and go, boy, I can damn sure feel that they are significantly better than they were a year ago, or hell, a month ago.
Good God.
So,
I mean, they are equipped to win a championship. They have gone out. I mean, they've not only answered the call to the problems they had, they've even geared up and said, all right, we know we're going to need some depth to have to deal with teams like OKC. So we're gonna be deep as hell. And we're gonna have answers just in case of injuries to certain spots. Like we're gonna have, it is just like for me, you've got to have reached a point where it's just like, all right, hell yeah, I'm in. Let's go. And I want to say, Clint, I think they're done adding significant pieces. But, I mean, you never know. I didn't see Clint Capella coming. Like I didn't know that they felt like in their mind, man, we gotta bring ourselves in another center.
Yeah.
Right. When they brought in Steven Adams and they got Shingun, I thought, all right, we've got our center position bigs ready. No, they said we're gonna bring Clint's ass in here too.
Well, I guess one, he's got a tremendous name. Two, he was really good here before. I loved Dwight. I loved him before. But you know, I think the reasoning behind it obviously is Steven Adams is at a point in his career where he's just not going to play a full season to be ready for the playoffs. So we saw Jock Lindell last year have to get quite a bit of playing time. They need somebody to get those minutes. And now, not that Clint Capella is just a chew up minutes guy. They went out and got a guy that's better than that can actually help you down the stretch in critical moments, I would think. So we'll see how that all plays out towards the end of the season and what that double big lineup can look like with all these different options now. I can tell you what, they can get real long on defense. That's for damn sure, can't they?
They can. Real long. Shut up, Tyler. Text line coming through. Ron has an unhealthy preoccupation with fans. I'm talking to y'all.
I mean, he does spend 4 hours a day talking to the fans.
I'm interacting with you.
I mean, that's a good point.
I'm not trying to talk over your head. Hell, I'm just saying, man.
Is that my boy, Ron?
I think he probably feels like you're taking a shot at him, Ron. Maybe he's one that doesn't like you're telling him what he can and can't do. Maybe
weird,
he doesn't like
man.
It. You called him weird, man. What do you, I mean, what maybe he doesn't like it.
Weird. Weird, man. I just
got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
I just, as someone who is a fan and is a fan of teams, if I want my team to be in the business of what the Rockets are doing.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think most fans are, and I think a lot of the ones that aren't there right now will get there by the time. I'm going to tell you, as a fan, and I believe I'm probably more like the majority of fans out there, which are casual fans, not the ones that are just ate up with it. I'm stoked.
You should be.
I mean, this is the, I'll be honest with you, last year I enjoyed watching the team. I enjoyed watching the arrival of the team.
But you knew somebody was going to get them.
Well, right. I was never, and this kind of goes back to the Kevin Durant deal. They didn't have one person in uniform that was getting me off my couch. I hate to be that fan.
Jalen Green, you tried allowed him.
I tried. But there was a time there when Jalen Green got to a point late in the season, the second half of the season, where it's like, okay, I can see this coming. I'm starting to get to the jitters here. I may have to go catch a game. KD gets you smooth up out your seat. After what Shingun did in the play, get you smooth up out your seat.
But that's the part is, they didn't just go get KD. Like they fit exactly what is needed around him. There have been some times where, all right, man, all right, we got James, we're going to get Russ. We're going to get Russell Westbrook. All right, what else we going to put around him?
Easy.
I'm good, man. I'm having a morning.
He's had a rough morning, y'all. He's had a rough morning. He's on edge this morning. Everybody just, hey, a little grace. Show a little grace to show.
I'm on edge. Been looking at floors all day.
Show grace. Show grace. He needs something.
Hey, listen here, man.
Hoogly as Hugley as came in the game.
I don't know who it is, you sons of bees. You're a real crappy person who goes out there and messes with people's debit cards.
Holy cow.
And the people that try to go in and hack your cards. Whoever that was that made all them purchases at Best Buy today, you can kiss my ass. Now I have had to cut. Now, thanks, Courtney. I have had to now cut my second card in the last 2 months.
Sounds like you may be.
Man, stay away from my cards.
What have you been in the middle of?
I'm about to just start rolling cash, man.
Some goofball and a half.
Well, I better not say that.
Don't say that. You got that $1 in your pocket you carry around.
I ain't even got it right now. I'm telling you, boy, ain't nothing worse. Ain't nothing worse. You pull up there and look up there and you see that. Did you make that purchase for $619?
Is this you?
Hell no, it ain't me.
Best Buy this morning? Nah, I've been at Best Floors.
I've been getting floors.
Somebody stop that man.
I just got 100 emails sent to me today saying, Is this your, verify this code.
Password change.
Password change. Verify this.
New
verify
device
this.
Registration.
Damn, man. Oh, I can't. Boy, I can't stand that. I gotta mess my card up. Now I gotta. Hope I ain't gotta spend no money on my way home tonight.
Yeah, that one company you deal with, I'm telling you, I had a partner of mine that had over, it was six figures. Six figures stole out of his account. Couldn't get it back.
No, what?
Holy mother of God.
I'll be honest, I felt like I was on that 14th green. If I had a golf club to toss it to the trees, I would do it. All right, our guy, Slick Will Conkle will join us coming up next. He'll be with us for the next hour, I believe, and we get his thoughts on some of the Astro stuff, the Rocket stuff, everything you need to go. Stay tuned with us. Will Conkle stepping up with us right here live on The Drive coming up next. The Big Conk!
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live in The Drive. And, of course, we are joined on this beautiful Tuesday by our guy Will Conkle, who covers everything, baby. Covers
the Big Conk!
There he is. It covers everything. And, by the way, I see that coming out there on the text line and on YouTube and Twitch. Big Conk. That's right. It's got some legs.
It's got some staying power, boys.
It does, man. It's a fun one to say.
When that last name's Kunkle, you got to lean into it. And I mean, that is.
You're right, man.
I Kelly Kunkle. You got is there a Kelly Kunkle in your family? Big, tall, blonde, good looking, blonde headed girl.
I don't. Tall girl. It's in the family. I'm not going to tell you whether it's good looking or not, but nope.
Yeah.
There is a Kelly, not that description.
I mean, big, tall, good looking girl. I believe she's from Conway, Arkansas.
Indiana. Yeah. Nah, my side of the family is all Indiana.
They must have, a few of them may have ventured south and.
Met a couple hogs.
Ventured south and didn't tell anybody about it. They got a Kelly running around down there.
Hogs are winners.
They got a Kelly somewhere.
Yeah, they did a good job, though. I got that same blonde hair you got, Will.
Oh, I just can't
never
believe,
forget her.
I can't believe there's somebody with your last name that isn't related to you.
It's a big German name. Germans in America.
Is it?
In
I learn
America.
Something every day, huh?
Y'all spend you spend much time in New Braunfels, big Germantown
no.
here?
Which no, one but I've heard it's one? Awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
I got a good buddy out there that's got a lake house. I haven't been invited yet.
Yeah. Well,
Wayne.
I mean, he ain't that good of a buddy then.
Wayne
I mean,
Ryan. Wayne Ryan. Whenever, bro. He's out there for the 4th of July.
Yeah, this is a good time.
Good time.
If you don't mind.
I have nothing else going on.
If you don't mind heat and crowds, this is it's time to be up here.
I mean, shoot, I'm in Houston.
The Big Conk.
Well played, sir. Well played. he is, said, hell, I'm in Houston. He could have just said, hey, you're a dumbass.
So Will, you are in Houston, and right now. Clint said it, and I think most people have been saying it nationally, that the Rockets have won themselves the offseason. That's what Clint said. They've won the offseason.
So far.
Yeah, and I think we should go. Is this an A? Is that the grade you would give them thus far? I know it's just the offseason.
It's A plus.
Is it an A? Because I know there are some people who don't necessarily think the Durant move is an A move. Clearly, we got that.
What are their credentials?
I don't think they have many.
Exactly.
But
hey, look, you don't come on here with Ron and start piling on the Rockets fans now.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
tag team.
Tag team. Yeah,
me and Tyler are going to get real serious here.
But I mean, I don't know how it can't be an A. I mean, at least for the now, it doesn't mean you're going to win it all. But I mean, I just don't know what else they could have done better in this offseason. To kind of fix their issue.
In today's day and age in sports, like in all sports, you see owners and GMs, like GMs trying to keep their job and trying to win type of deal. You see owners trying to make money and try to win a little bit, but also kind of rebuild. Like, give credit to the Rockets. Like, this moment is due to what they did years ago and tanking and being horrible and setting themselves up for success and now not blowing it. Now they see their moment and they're all in. Like, there is no hedging of their bets.
Well, Will, we talk about this all the time, Ron and I have. And, I mean, regardless of what the sport is, I love the way that people, mostly people talk about sports, but I think some organizations do operate like this. Like, oh, we'll pass on a good player or a great player or an opportunity this year because there'll always be one there next year. You know what I mean? Like, there's always, like, look, if you get a chance to get a great player, I'm not saying the Rockets did this. I love the fact that, hey, it looks like the stars have aligned and the Rockets go, okay, what superstar that can take us to the next level and give us a chance to win a championship is available? And can we afford him? Obviously, they could afford him. That player was Kevin Durant. And the more we look at what Milwaukee's doing with Giannis in terms of they're adding to Giannis, they're not subtracting and trying to move Giannis, it doesn't look like, it makes a Durant move even better. Like, I just don't know what anybody could, even if you don't like Durant, it's still an A.
If you don't like Durant, everything. That's a you problem, yes. though, right? Like,
fair.
His numbers are yeah. everything that you want.
Sure.
He's old. Okay, well, it's not a 10-year deal, so what's the problem?
Well, he's been one of the best scorers in the league the last 3 years.
Because, yeah. Like, he's set records the last 3 years on the back end of his career. What is the problem here?
Yeah.
You don't like him?
With a bad organization.
Don't buy his jersey. But I guarantee you that you're going to be watching him. And as for, like, in life, I know it's cheesy, but there is no, you're not guaranteed tomorrow.
Bingo.
We did this with the Texans. They're here to stay for a long time now that they got CJ, right? Offense is here to stay. The offense was an issue last year. You're not guaranteed anything.
Yeah.
The Rockets aren't guaranteed anything. Like, so this is our moment. You have to strike when you have that ability.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not just, and I think the A to me comes from everything they did. Like, you don't generally get to do what the Rockets did. You don't generally get to keep all the pieces you really want to keep, right? Like, if you think about it, of any of the pieces that they really wanted to keep, they didn't lose any of them, right? I don't, like, maybe Dylan Brooks they'd like to have, maybe, but that wasn't going to be a long-term deal.
That's collateral damage.
Yeah, they got to keep, like, generally you think, all right, man, I'm going to trade somebody, but I'm probably going to have to give up something that I want, right? Like, when the Astros get to the trade deadline, if they do make a move, there's probably going to be somebody, man, boy, I wouldn't love to give that up. The Rockets got to really keep any of the people that they wanted to keep. Yeah. Hell, even guys they didn't even want to keep. I don't think they really want to keep Cam Whitmore, but hell, he didn't even have to be included into the trade. Like, they got to keep everything for their future. Everything for the future is still set. And they go and get him. And they still have enough to go get Finney Smith to add to their team, which is a perfect fit for what they're trying to do. And, oh, hell, we'll just go out and get Clint Capella because we know Steven Adams may not play, you know, but 40 or 50 games, and he's going to be right there ready for him. I still, in a way, can't believe they were able to pull all of this off. And Jabari Smith is still on the team. And Reed Shepard is still on the team. And you know, some of these guys, Shingun and Amen Thompson wasn't even a thought. And they could still go get those guys, right? That's the part to me where it really becomes an A.
Speaking about the A and the Rockets and the moves, the Jabari Smith extension, the Jabari Smith, obviously they like him more than I expected. I was a big fan of his. He intrigues me and fascinates me more so than really the other young guys on the team. But I didn't see that contract extension coming the way that it did. 5 year, one, what was it, 5 year, 120 mm-hmm. something?
122.
122. Yeah. I mean, that is, what are your thoughts on Jabari after covering the team for the last couple?
I thought it was awesome that he got hurt, came back, and was willing to do whatever it took to play a role in the playoffs. Like, he wasn't like, nah, I'm a starter. This is my role. He didn't pout. He did whatever it took. He hit that spot up three, played good defense. He showed that his length defensively in Ime's system is a huge benefit to have. And I think there's a lot of potential there on the table. And I think the rest of it is up to Jabari. This dude is far from a finished product. He's far from a guarantee. And we're about to find out if this contract is good or bad. But if it's good, you got him for a steal, especially if not that he's going to step in for Kevin. Like, that doesn't happen. No one does that for a Kevin Durant. But when Kevin's done, if Jabari can help fill that role and be a good enough offensive player, like, I think we all kind of agreed the mental side to Jalen was a bigger issue than a hurdle than it was his physical talent. Jabari, sure. I think, showed that he was mentally tough to come back and do whatever, play whatever, and still has the physical talent. And the mental game in today's sports is for real. Like, you either want it or you don't want it. You love the game or you don't love the game. And you're an alpha or you're just a beta.
Well, especially with that level player, because that's not a guy that you're going to have the luxury of load managing. Now, injury's a different deal, but you got a couple of guys on this squad that can load manage, whether it's because they're veterans or because they're that damn good. He's not one of them. So to your point, you better be a guy that's nose to grind and goes hard every night and helps set that standard and culture. And obviously, he did those things right because they rewarded him handsomely.
I feel like, Clint, you you almost think I'm a bit underselling him, Jabari, a bit. Because I think his ceiling is, I think he's going to be he could be a top-tier role player.
Like a six-man type of deal?
No. I don't mean six-man, but like they're not the same player in position, but I mean this kind of an impact. Like Derek White or
Chet Holmgren?
I think Chet's probably got a little higher
ceiling. I think he's got significantly better offensive talent than those guys.
He feels like a third, I guess. Like Derek White or who was the guard?
I don't disagree, but here's the thing with Derek White. He's the third with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
And to me, right, I think the thought and the hope is, all right, there's KD and then there's, you know, Şengün or Thompson. Either one of them is yours. Like, I think he feels more as a top-tier, not a six-man guy, but a top-tier Derek White, Drew Holiday type of impact as the third or the fourth guy. And I think Clint feels like there's still a shot that you think he could be Brown.
I think he can be
well,
two.
I don't know what that looks like, but I feel, for whatever reason in watching him, I feel like we are going to get a one. I think he's going to be whatever the best he can bring to the table. Like, there's not this we got this unbelievable amount of development. Like, I think I'm less, you and some others are more confident that Amen Thompson's going to take the next step and be a different player.
Clearly going to be the better player.
I worry about him offensively.
Well, you're not 100%.
I don't think it's clear. I think he is right now, and he's more athletic, and he's better on the defensive end of the floor, and I get that. But I'm talking about on the offensive end of the floor. Like, Amen Thompson has to be significantly better to have a consistent role offensively. Mm-hmm. I know that you can set Jabari Smith's ass in that corner and he can shoot it lights out.
Yeah, that's a role.
And in this
but I don't know. We haven't even seen him start yet. Like he's got that part licked.
But was Reggie Miller a star, like a role player? Like, he did that one thing, he just did it really well. And then into this game, today's game, you have to be able to shoot the three.
But the offense ran around Reggie.
You're right. Like, I think the offense can run around Jabari.
See that,
and I think he can put the ball on the ground.
I'm not
better.
Saying you two are wrong. I just think that's probably the separation. I'm not sure that he can get to that level.
Well, I'll be clear. I'm not sure either. I think it's a lot more likely that he gets to a point where he is a well-rounded, better player than Amen Thompson all of a sudden finding control in a jump shot and is the guard that a lot of folks think he could be. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not as confident.
One thing I am sure on this is that we will find out this year, because he will be given every opportunity. Yeah. It will be up to him to be who he wants to be. Jalen had that opportunity, and I'm not writing his career off, but we found out that, like, on a win now team where you need to be the guy, you're not, and you're not right now. We're about to find out this year about Jabari.
We are. All right. Text line coming in. I got terrible taken here a couple of times on here. On the Jabari.
I'm sure we both did. I get it for Amin, and you get it on for Jabari.
We're not that far.
Let's check all boxes.
We could have some fun with that. All right, and Will's going to continue with this, and Will is he's about as surprised. I feel like it's really hitting him that the Astros are still somehow pulling this off. And we'll talk to him what we talked about yesterday. Is Jeremy Peña's injury, is that the one that's going to break the dam? Is that the one? They've survived all the others. Is that the one? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, text line here. Comparing Reggie's skill set to Jabari is wild work.
it was a bit of a stretch. The concept was.
Shooter.
And he, like, Reggie didn't exactly go to the rack a whole bunch.
Yeah.
The big conk!
Jabari can be a legit star. That's his ceiling. Terrible take. No, Ron, Jabari can be LaMarcus Aldridge. Okay.
I mean, LaMarcus is a damn good player. Different skill set.
I don't know that we're going to get to the point where Jabari, take the ball and we're going to kind of clear it out for you. Or Jabari, we're going to run this thing through you. Jabari feels like he is going to be a spacer. And maybe he's got some things in the post, but he feels more like a spacer to me. I know you could say it's a terrible take. I mean, my man's at below 13 points per game score, right? I got like, and you could say he hasn't had a shot or whatever, but like, and he's been here. Shingun has stuck out and jumped forward. Green, even as much as he annoys us, as they have run things through them. Amen Thompson, in his second year, has jumped out more than he has. I'm not saying it's impossible, but first off, I don't think it's a terrible take. I mean, if it's not, it's 12.8 points a game has never.
Listen, we could all end up being wrong, right? Like whatever. But
I mean, if he becomes LaMarcus Aldridge, well, hell, yes, you've got a fine. I don't think he has a chance. Not that has a chance. I don't know that he's going to be looked at to become LaMarcus Aldridge on this team when you already have Shingun, who is a post player. He seems like he's going to be the spacer. And I think there is great value in being a third scorer, maybe even a fourth scorer, that is a really good defender and shot blocker, which I think he is.
So, I think, bro, I disagree with you, but I definitely don't think you're off the reservation with the concept that maybe an NBA player doesn't pan out to be as high as the fans might think. I think it can be a more talented offensive weapon. Like, I'm more concerned about Amen's game offensively than I am Jabari's.
Fair.
I don't think Jabari's ever going to be a guy, get the ball to him and clear out and let him go one-on-one. Like, I don't think that. I think he's a shooter. I think he's a perimeter guy. I think he's a guy that can get to the elbow and fill it up and do some things with that longer body. Yeah, running the offense through him, no.
He's more of a guy that works off of the creator as opposed to
the creator. I think that's fair.
I think that's okay. But I will say, I think there will be moments where you clear out for him. I think he's mismatch, got the ability. The I don't think that, like, you're doing that like KD does percentage-wise. Like, no shot.
Yeah, he could take a mismatch in the post.
I think he's got some abilities to do that, which I guess is maybe the second or third score, whatever that might be.
Someone said, need Jabari to be slightly better than Robert Horry. Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
not the worst comp. The Astros are somehow went 5-1. I said to Clint last week, all right, man, would they go 3-3 in this little homestand against the Dodgers and the Phillies? You good on that? And I mean, not the Dodgers, but the Phillies and the Cubs. You good on that? Yeah, I take three.
Absolutely.
Now they went 5-1. Jeremy Pena's injured. Like it didn't. This is they're beating good teams. They're beating whatever. They're opening up. I think they got a 6-game lead now against the Mariners because they won yesterday and they were off. But Jeremy Pena goes down, and Jeremy Pena is a legit MVP candidate this year. Has been the best shortstop, I think you could argue, in the game in the first half of the year. Is this the one that gets them? That's the wonder to me, because they have defied any kind of odds on who they can play with, and it doesn't seem like there has been one injury that will take them out. I wonder, is this the one over the next 2 weeks?
This is the one that worries me, because if the defense isn't there and you start giving teams extra outs and you're winning these tight ball games, like, you don't have a great record when you're not scoring at least 4 runs. So if you're starting to give teams extra outs and not play clean baseball defensively, they've been the best team in Major League Baseball defensively. That's what's allowed them to win the close games. But it reminds me, like, when you go to the bar and you get like a, you know, you spent like $300. You know, you spent.
Had your night now.
Right? Yeah, had a good time. You get the tag. And it's like $48. You're like, what? That's not right. But you know what? Bro, just sign it. Check.
Can't
cash
get out.
Out
of here,
well, I don't
now.
Care how it happened. Like, I don't care how it happened. Here we are. That was a win. Like, that's what the Astros are right. It's like, this doesn't make sense. I know I bought a gaggle of shots for that table over there. Like, it doesn't make sense how the Astros are here with all the injuries they have to important players all at once.
What is going on?
To me,
I've never used gaggle before. That's a first time.
Stable.
A gaggle of shots. Love it. All right.
The interesting thing and the why behind this conversation to me is the production is coming from all over the place. It's not like you got a Yordan that's sitting up there and has got 30 home runs before the All-Star break. It's not like you got Altuve that's doing crazy things in the leadoff spot or even at all. You look up one night, it's Cam Smith. You look up one night, obviously it's Jeremy Pena, Paredes, it's Jake Myers, what was old buddy's name that hit the bomb to right field? Hummel. It's just the production. Now it's timely, and you can say it's going to be a hard life to live 162 games that way. But the only thing that gives me hope of the Astros surviving, kind of weathering the storm of now Jeremy Pena being hurt, is just if you look at the last month of baseball, where hell, they were the best team in baseball in June, right? Just overall, yep, period. You look at it. Hunter Brown and Fromber were great. Those other guys, the others, were pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, Pena, Paredes, Altuve, hell of a job. Those others were pretty damn good and pretty instrumental in a lot of those wins, man. So I think they feel this Jeremy Pena one more. But, Will, I look at it like, why would they have any problem weathering this given what they've weathered so far?
Exactly. Like, why is this the one?
And, well, at some point.
Because Jeremy's the – I get it.
At some point, it's an accumulation of it all. Like, at some point, it's like, all right, there's no pain in there. It could be offset if maybe Yordan was in there.
We have a lineup yet for tonight?
No. I wonder, are they going to move Altuve back up to the leadoff spot? Like, what are they – what are they going to do there? They've been going with Paredes there in that leadoff spot with Jake batting second. So we'll see. It's just they just at some point, man, you just can't roll through all these guys, especially a team that has even with Pena has struggled to score. Right? We talked about that Cup Series. They scored five runs.
Mm-hmm.
They swept them, but they scored five runs with him in it. I'm sorry, the Philly series. They scored five runs with him in it. So that's the other part is just, boy, he's been such an igniter up front, up at the top of that lineup for them. I hope not. I hope they find a way to figure out and somebody just comes out of nowhere and steps up. But, boy, that's just a lot to ask for.
I love the way you put that, Ron, the igniter, because you're 100% right. I love the speed. Like, he just has a way of finding a way and getting on, whether it's a walk, it's a hit-by-pitch, it's an infield single, it's an error, whatever it may be. Like, he can manufacture action on the base pass.
He's that spark plug. Like, he's that guy.
But where I'm going with it, though, Will, is if you look up, and I don't know what the numbers will tell you. I can just tell you when I go home and I turn the TV on, there's been three or four of the guys doing that too. Jake Myers, Cam Smith. Every time I look up, those guys are starting, getting walked or getting a single late and causing problems on the base pad. You know, DeZenzo was that way before he got hurt. I mean, every time you look up, Dubon was that way for about a six-game stretch there, a week ago. So I just maybe it's the Astro, maybe it's the Homer in me wanting to thinking, they're bulletproof. But, damn, it just seems showing up like they're going to be all right.
They have this thing where not all of them click all at once. So they have this like, and you kind of
complimentary.
Yeah, but it's like they all click right when the certain guys click when they need to. It's like a beautiful like ballet of some sort of like these guys are really bad, but these guys are good. These guys are bad. So they never are all bad. They're never all good. So they're not really putting up 15 runs. They're not averaging a whole bunch, but they have the right guy being right as good at the right time throughout the season. It's all just kind of mixed and matched. Now, without Jeremy, who there is a role to be filled there that no one can really fill, can you mix and match it the rest of the way? I think I put it out on X the other day. I think he probably comes back after the All-Star break is my guess, because then you get those extra 5 days and then you can roll. But like, bro, it's crazy what they're doing. It doesn't make sense.
It is. Outside of two times Lance pitches, you feel like you're going to at least have a chance, if not just have to score one or two runs to win games. So.
But even then, there was a moment, there was times where Lance was getting 12 punches, and we're like, all right, Lance is back, Lance of old, and he's getting you wins.
Yeah.
Yes, you're going to have those blow-up moments, but again, even those guys that are giving you blow-up moments at times are getting you wins.
Yeah,
which is wild.
It's crazy. Yeah, how they're doing this.
On most teams, those guys are just sent down and forget about it.
Yeah. Somehow they bring them up and they work.
Yeah,
that's doesn't matter. That Hummel kid hit that game winning home run. I was like, what the hell? All right, a Texans player, one of the young players we don't hear a lot about. What are we going to see from him this year? And What other young breakout potential stars do you see from the Texans? We'll discuss that as we continue right here live on The Drive.
Rock and roll, meow.